This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network coming to you live from the Old Ford Tough studio. Now, last hour, Jerry Recco played a cut of Jerry Jones talking about Micah Parsons and his contract and how just because you sign a guy to a 4 or 5 year deal doesn't mean that you're actually going to have him because he missed some games last year and anything could happen to a guy, he can get hit by a car. And it's a bizarre thing to say if you're Jerry Jones as an owner, but we know him to be an individual that says bizarre things. Now, this did not go over well in the player community, the current player or former player community, as you could imagine. But, you know, J.J. Watt puts this thing out here, and I understand why he's upset, and he is a guy who definitely fought for his team, was a great teammate, but I don't know if everybody is like that these days. So J.J. Watt quote tweets the Jerry Jones comments and says, "Anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously right before the season begins, you just got to take it. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you." Now, obviously, he's being sarcastic about this. I mean, do you feel like Micah Parsons or Dak Prescott, like they're fighting for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys? Or are most players, when they're out there playing their ass off, thinking about, "I got to take care of my family for generations, and the better I play, the more money I get. And hey, if we lose, hell, we lose." But I mean, it's not as if Micah Parsons is out there playing for peanuts, trying to get Jerry Jones another Super Bowl before he dies. That's not at the top of his list. The top of his list is getting that guaranteed money and getting pizzayed.
Well, like we were talking about the quarterback documentary on Netflix and Jared Goff talking about getting traded from the Rams. You know, it happens. It's business. That's the business side of what's going on. And the owners do have a right to say what they want to say and how they want to say it. They're the ones that are paying the bills. They're the ones that took the initial risk. You tend to forget just how big of a risk Jerry Jones did take when he bought the Dallas Cowboys, because it isn't what it is today. He's part of that ownership group back in those days in the 80s, I think it was, that took this league to a whole nother level. And he realizes that, you know, when you pay a guy a lot of money and you lose that guy on the field because he ends up or tends to get hurt, then all that money goes out the window.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but that's part of the business, and everybody understands that. It happens to everybody, you know.
But it's like players get so sensitive over this crap.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what I'm getting at is, like, and I think that Jerry Jones, it was unnecessary what Jerry Jones said, but he's borderline, I mean, he's kind of...
I mean,
I'm trying to be
all,
respectful here, but the guy's just diarrhea of the mouth.
But are we all adults here or what?
I mean, 100%.
Michael Parsons is going to get his money. All these players got this money. You know, J.J. Watt was, I actually think, said something about T.J. Watt's contract, too. Of course, you're his brother. You want him to get paid.
Yeah.
And eventually, he got paid.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt should run from NFLPA head is what he should do. Go run. Needs to be. Would be the guy that I would put in there.
That is perfect, especially now with the sort of rocky ground that the NFLPA is on.
Right, because he obviously is not afraid to take a swing at an owner or two,
and he's well respected amongst his peers.
You'd like to think that would be the per. He doesn't have the legal background, but that doesn't mean he can't hire legal counsel to give him suggestions and give him an opportunity. I don't know if he'd want to do that because he'd have to move to Washington, D.C. most likely. He lives in Phoenix. He's got a great life out there, just had a kid, and I don't know if he would want to do it. But if there were an ex-player that would be, I think, smart enough to go in there and be able to articulate some of these issues that still are at the forefront of the players, he would be the one guy that I would say should be considered for that.
When you watch a football game and you see a guy giving his all out there, do you feel like he's fighting for the owner?
Do I feel like he's...
My answer is no. I think he wants to win. I think he's competitive.
I played for three ownership groups. Leon Hess here in New York, who I absolutely respected and admired.
Yeah.
Because of the way he treated my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and he were World War II vets. And I have such great memories of that kind of relationship that made me want to play hard for Leon Hess. Now, the decision-making over the 3 years that I was here is a little different. You know, I don't necessarily know that he was, he was getting older, so he was getting impatient, kind of like where Jerry Jones is. He's getting older. He's impatient now.
Yeah.
And he's not wanting...
He's going to die, so...
Yeah, he doesn't want to sit back. But, I played for the Brown family, and I respected Paul and Mike Brown. They treated me personally really well. So I didn't have any problem with that. But, as you see, and Jerry's going to have some clips from some of the things that are going on there now, they are a team that pushes the envelope in a lot of different ways, silently, where they could affect you as a player long term. And, and they can also do it like they're trying to do with Shamar Stewart right now, their first round draft pick, trying to put clauses in that contract to claw back some of the money if the kid goes off the rails somehow.
Now, as everybody knows, or many people know, you played professional football. I did not. Now,
and then I had the Bidwells, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Which
the absolute worst.
Yeah, the Pits. So I'm gonna give you a scenario. I'm gonna rank things that I think.
Oh, ranking! I love ranking.
Think that you're fighting for.
Okay.
All right. Because J.J. Watt says that these players are fighting for you, the owner. All right.
No, they're not.
So, number one, you're fighting for yourself and your career. And your legacy. Number two, you're fighting for your teammates. Number three, you're fighting for the people that showed up and paid money and care about you winning.
That are buying your jerseys.
Right. And number four, you're fighting. Well, when I say teammates, I'm also saying coaching staff as well.
Yeah, okay. But the coaches are, they're a part of the executive group. They're away from you.
Okay.
And a prime example is that Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Oh, we can get Matthew Stafford. Let's go get him. Let's get rid of rid of Jared Goff.
So then what I'll do is I'll separate that and I'll put teammates number two.
And coaches could be, they can be backstabbing sons of bitches.
All right. So then I'll go three, the fans, as we talked about. And then four, I'll say, the guys that you like that are in that executive group. But
well, the GM that selected you, the GM that gave you the contract.
Right, the coach that believes in you and all of that. But
there's a lot of that goes on, yeah, for 100%, yes.
But I don't think the owner cracks that top three or four.
Well, there are some really great owners that treat their players amazingly. And I would say, for the most part, things have, come into the 2025 season where most of these teams treat their players... Forget their contracts for a second. Just treat their players amazingly. They have those, they obviously have those
grades they give
out. And all the players, take shots, and the Bengals usually are the worst. And that's why the Bengals ended up having to spend money. And then I think the Kansas City Chiefs were worse. 1 year they were bad. And nobody wants to be on the bottom of that list. But what I will say is that guys like Jerry Jones, you know, he still has guys like Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and all of those guys are still hanging around the team.
But what did those guys do for him? I mean, they won Super Bowls, you know, and that's why.
But I also think that he takes care of those players that you never hear about that. You never hear about the financial compensation that he may give those guys to show up to be a part of the Cowboy legacy.
Yeah.
You know, and he, from what I understand, and I remember Michael Irvin telling me that he loves Jerry Jones because Jerry Jones put up with all the nonsense, all the crap, and still is very
But Michael Irvin was instrumental in making Jerry Jones the billionaire owner in that organization, the valuation that it is. I mean, I scratch your back, you scratch mine type of thing.
I also know that the Brown family has done a lot for a lot of players that nobody ever hears about. Like a lot of different financial scenarios that pop up every now and again, and an owner, a team feels bad for a player's predicament, and they're going to do things, but they're going to do it quietly. They're not going to say, hey, we just gave, X amount of dollars to Jimmy Smith because he's in a bad way, but they've done that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that is not talked about. You're right. I mean, when you run into former players and, hey, this guy did this for me and that wasn't written about or whatever
there's
it
a
is.
Lot, there's a lot of that that goes on in this league. I mean, and look, the league also, the NBA is great how it took care of its older players that have retired.
Yeah.
And they did a hell of a job making sure that those guys had long-term pension benefits that skyrocketed. And, it's very, I sit on my side of it. Our pension benefits have gotten better, but not nearly what the NBA is. But I will say this, as far as J.J. Watt is concerned, he, to me, would be the perfect guy. I don't think he would do it, but he would be the perfect guy to be the head of that union. Because being in the midst of all of this back in 1987 and living that life, you have to have somebody that understands really what the majority of players are dealing with. And I'm not talking about the quarterbacks that are making $250 million. I'm not talking about Micah Parsons. I'm not talking about the wide receivers that are making $31, $40 million now. I'm talking about the far majority of players, which is about 92% or 93% of them, that don't make that money and don't last that long.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's go to Mark in Jersey City who joins us. If you want to join the show, 888-808-1019. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I am well. Good morning. I'm a little surprised about our take on this morning. Now, let's just say you hurt your voice or something, Gio. Caught COVID on the way in. Who knows? You miss an extended period of time from work.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly FAN has this weird derogatory statement about we invested a lot of money in him and he's not here to do the show now.
Yeah.
You don't think your agent or Boomer... All right, not Boomer. Boomer would be promoting Boomer and Dukes in the morning, but maybe your agent, you don't think he would have...
He would not be doing that, by the way. It was funny, but he would not be doing it.
You don't think your agent would say, Craig left and Gio stepped in and he bought ratings and he did his best for this station and how dare they... You don't think that would be the take?
Yeah, well, I think they were talking about two different things, Mark, and that's why I preface this by saying what Jerry Jones said was unnecessary, and I could understand why Micah Parsons would be upset about it. Really, what I'm focusing on is the fact that J.J. Watt is saying that, the players fight for the owners. Like, you're not out there fighting for the owners when you put on the uniform. I mean, and he put that out there. But yes, you're right. What Jerry Jones said was insane to me. There was no reason to say that, especially about a star player who wants to be a Cowboy his entire career. But the J.J. Watt reaction to me is like, nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. Like, stop. You're not a Navy SEAL. You're not fighting for the country. Like, just chill out.
I think, he may have had a good experience in Houston, when he was at the height of his, powers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, obviously ends up in Arizona. So, who knows? I mean, that's a crazy ownership,
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, maybe they took care of him there. I don't know, but.
Listen, man, there are similarities between this business and pro sports. I mean, we see it all the time. Guys and moving around and losing jobs and shows getting canceled and all that stuff. But this is the life we have chosen. right? And this is the life that the NFL players have chosen as
right.
well.
And it's gotten better and better for those NFL players. And Micah Parsons is probably going to get somewhere close to $90 million guaranteed. I'm telling you. So,
and then they'll sit up there and hug and have a big press conference. And everybody's
going to be a Dallas Cowboy for life until he breaks his leg next year.
And then Jerry Jones goes, see? What I tell you? Let's go to Joe in Long Beach. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just a quick comment. I heard you guys talking about that little Soto that you guys were saying that some people over there weren't impressed with the ground ball.
Yeah, it was Al Dukes. Al and Jerry were not impressed with the ground ball.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if they recognize when they were watching the game. Like, they do that with, like, they do it in every Met game when it's on. They bring up the exit velocities. I know not a lot of people are big into exit velocities.
Yeah, so how hard was the ball hit?
It literally said in the bottom of the seventh, Soto single was the hardest hit ball all game, even though it was only a ground ball. And that's how Soto always says, too. Like, he always tries to get on top of the ball and get backspin. So he's up there just to hit the ball hard. He can't really, obviously, it's baseball. You can't control where the ball is going to go. So, I mean,
some guys can. I mean, I saw Ichiro do it all the time. Tony Gwynn, you know, I don't know if Soto was trying to place that ball exactly between the shortstop and the second baseman. Obviously, there was a little bit of a legal shift that was on there as the shortstop was playing right behind the bag. But, yeah, I mean, listen, we can't sit here and complain about the Mets not getting hits in big situations and criticize the hit they got in a big situation. That's at least I can't.
Yeah, so like the only thing I wanted to comment was it literally, when people said, oh, it was just a little ground ball, it was literally on the exit velocity chart when they bring it up, like, oh, today's hardest hit ball, it was the hardest hit ball all game.
Hey, Joe, so, people didn't bring it up. Al Dukes brought it up, okay? It wasn't people. It was Al Dukes. That was it.
Yeah, a little cosign from Jerry, though, I got to say.
Yep. Oh, yeah, Jerry was definitely
co-signing,
no question about it. But to me, it's a clutch hit in a clutch spot in a game, and that's what you're paying him $765 million to do.
Listen, the Mookie Wilson ball down first base was a clutch hit. That was not a well-hit ball.
That was a dribbler, but we're not talking about Mookie Wilson. We're talking about the hardest hit ball, according to Joe, in the game last night.
I'll push back on that. That was not a clutch hit. That was not a clutch hit. That was pure luck. I mean, if he makes that routine play, we're not talking about how hard Mookie Wilson hit that ball or made it hard for the Red Sox and Bill Buckner. No way.
You can't compare this hit. I'm looking at StatCast right now. Trying to find it.
Hard hit ball rate?
Something. I don't know.
They love that stuff. Remember BT when he was talking about Soto breaking out?
Yes.
He was giving you all that stuff about hard-hit ball
right
rate.
That was the end of April. He was expecting a big May.
I think it was the opposite. I think it was end of May, expecting a big June.
92nd percentile average exit velo, 85% hard hit rate, 95% squared up rate, 92% chase rate, 95% walk rate, 84% K right rate, 86% fielding run value, and 95% range. His whiff rate and his K rate is still 88th percentile and 92%. I'm looking at a spray chart going oppo.
We're looking at spray charts and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what he was talking about when he said he was about to break out. Oh, by the way, he broke out.
And he broke out in a big way.
Hard hit rate.
Hard hit rate.
Whiff
spray
rate.
Whiff rate.
Look at the spray chart.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of stats right there. That's a lot to chew on. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I'm a baseball expert, and if you have any questions about the game, I'll be ready to answer them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, BSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Oh, Jerry Recco is back. He's got some good Mets, some bad Yankees, and plenty more. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And nobody's beating the Blue Jays at home these days, certainly not the Yankees, who have dropped six in a row to them. Last night, they lost 4-1. You had the big two-run double by Bo Bichette. Giancarlo Stanton homered earlier in the game. Bichette with the two-run double and what turned out to be the big fifth inning. And then you had the bad plays by Peraza and Volpe, which is why they scored runs 3 and 4. Here was Dave and Susan on the Fan reacting to the bad throw by Peraza first that made it 3-1.
That should have been the inning right there.
Well, the left side of this infield, and this is going on all, and I'm not picking on Peraza. This is all year. You've got ground ball pitchers on this staff, particularly the lefties that do that. Wow.
Wow is right. And then it wasn't long after that that Anthony Volpe made a throwing error that could not be dug out by Paul Goldschmidt, and it was 4-1.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, the left side of the infield, once again, you can't, I'm sorry, you got to have a true throw. He should have kept it, but he's been so good all year and saved so many runs.
Oh. And Straw, who can run.
So frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Man, they both are annoyed.
Yeah, Susan was on tilt last night, man. She was going crazy. She was so pissed off.
Well, I would be, too. And maybe Goldschmidt should make that play. Most first basemen do. But still, that's an easy play. That's a routine ground ball. I could probably find out the exit velo on that ball, if you like. Because I finally figured out how to find the exit velo on
nice.
Something.
You've had a new hobby now.
Yeah.
And was Juan Soto's...
It is.
It was the hardest hit ball last
His
night?
His single was 108 miles an hour off the bat.
How about that?
Right.
Still a
hardest
ball.
Hit ball of the night, including the home runs that were hit.
Yep. Statcast Boomer. Here he is.
Uh-oh.
Watch out. StatPack Boomer. Now we got Statcast Boomer.
Watch
Tax
out,
Boomer.
Baby. So he hit a 96.7 mile an hour fastball. Okay. And it came off his bat at 108 miles an hour, Jerry.
Okay, Boomer. Tell him. Don't look at me.
It didn't pass the eye test.
I agree. That was the only point. Was like, so you didn't listen. The whole idea was when, because I watched mostly the Yankee game last night, when we came in and we see, wow, Juan Soto had the big game-tying two-run single. Yeah. Al had the same reaction I did when we first put it on, thinking it was going to be like this line drive. And what you see is a ground ball. I was like, oh, okay. I'm not knocking it.
Brett Beatty hit a home run and went 106.3 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, there's lift.
Oh, now you tell me the lift is lift rate. Is like a drag.
It was a little bit of a drag, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the launch
angle? I don't know what the drag rate is.
All right, so since we're doing the Mets, let's get to the Mets. Wayne Randazzo, he does Angels TV these days, and the Angels did take an early lead.
That ball is ripped toward the left field corner. That gets down the base hit. Taylor Ward strikes again on the road. He gets Renifo home, and Trout's on his way. The relay coming from Lindor. It's over. Everybody Bay's head. Trout scores. Two more RBIs for Ward.
Wayne Randazzo.
I miss Wayne Randazzo.
I know. It fits perfectly still.
Yes.
To this day. He still sounds like the 1930s baseball announcer.
He does. And so they were up 3-0. They would lead 4-0. They would lead 5-2. Yes, Brett Beatty hit a home run in this game. And Beatty was also the one that was on base when the go-ahead run would score for the Mets.
A 1-1 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball to third. Picked by Moncada. Comes home. The throw is dropped. It's dropped by Ohapi. Beatty scores. Holding at third is Alvarez. On at first is Mauricio. And the Mets have taken a 6-5 lead.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Tack on one more with a Brandon Nimmo sack fly and an RBI. And the
that was a weird play.
Yeah, very strange. I mean, Ohapi took responsibility for that at the end of the game, but I mean, to me, it's just a crap throw.
You got to throw it inside the runner, G. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
You can't throw it. It's almost like it went across the runner's body.
Like the Tom Emanski videos back in the day.
Yeah.
Fred McGriff. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
We used to do that drill where you'd put a garbage pail on its side behind home plate and then catch fly balls in center and try to get the ball into the garbage pail. I mean, that was, you want to talk about some real innovative stuff. That's what we were doing. And if I were out there playing third in that situation, I would have known the fundies inside the runner.
Yeah, you don't want to cross the foul line.
Here was Francisco Alvarez. He was back. He was promoted at a couple of hits, including a double that was played terribly in right field. That having been said, he was the guest on SNY on the field after the game. Nice to hear from the fans in a positive way.
You know, it feels good because I feel all the support. I've been through tough moments this season, and to be able to feel the way that they received me today, it's really special.
And that was obviously through a translator, so good to see him come back, have a couple of base hits. The Mets go to 13 games over 500, 57-44. They remain a half game behind the Phillies, who beat the Giants in 10. Frank Montas and Kyle Hendricks, the starters tonight. Kodai Senga, by the way, just 3 innings. He allowed 4 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, so a big bullpen night.
Now we got to rest him, what, for 2 weeks?
I don't know about 2 weeks, but he'll get his time off, and hopefully he can give you more than 3 innings next time he is around. We mentioned the Phillies beating the Red Sox. That game ended on a catcher's interference on a check swing, and so Philadelphia does win that game. Also of note, the Brewers beat the Mariners 6-0, so Milwaukee red hot. They have won 11 straight. All right, some things from the NFL. One more from Jerry Jones. This is on the Micah Parsons talks. Contracts guaranteeing basically nothing.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Well, if I were the player, after hearing that, I'd be like, you know, I'm thinking about leaving here.
Yeah. Someone else will give me that money. You trade me and get a couple draft picks back.
His point in all that, if you continue to listen, is they're trying to figure out a way to pay him, but spread it out to where they still have money to pay other positions.
Well, so the problem is they paid CeeDee Lamb. They paid Dak Prescott. I mean, you know, let's face it, the Bengals have done the same thing with their team. That's probably one of the reasons why Trey Hendrickson is not getting extended anytime soon.
But when I was listening to him, I was hearing you in my head thinking about different dates with money, when money becomes available.
Yes.
And how they try to pay as many people as they can to have a deeper team.
Plus, they also have to put the amount of money guaranteed into escrow.
Yeah.
I did hear that once or twice last week. Yes. All right. Mention the Bengals. So Duke Tobin.
Just trying to educate you guys.
No, we're educated.
But I did listen to him a little differently based upon what you said last week.
Thank you very much,
because
Jerry.
If you read between the lines, people kept saying, why are you not signing him now? But if you heard him and Steven, it sounded like it's going to get done in time. They're trying to figure
once
out
once all the money comes in and everything else, yes.
Here was Duke Tobin, the Bengals' director of player personnel. This is on Shamar Stewart not signing his rookie deal yet.
I don't blame Shamar. He's listening to the advice that he's paying for. I don't understand the advice. I don't agree with it. I'm not the one paying for it. But that's where it is. If I thought we were treating him unfairly, it would be a different story. But we're treating him fairly with all the rest of the draft picks in this year's draft.
All right, so Mike Brown was also there. Now, these are long. He's a little older and is more drawn out. He was asked specifically what the holdup is.
Basically, it turns on whether
out years are guaranteed if he gets involved in conduct detrimental to football. Well, what does that mean? Detrimental to football in recent years has been violence to women.
And he would go on and mention a couple of things.
All right, so the point being, though,
is he projecting he's going to beat up his girlfriend or something? What is going on here?
The only player that would have to sign this clause in his contract.
See, now, the article I read said this has become more common in contracts today.
I don't know. It may be common with some of these contracts. Unless Shamar Stewart has some knock against them that we don't know about, and they know about, and they're trying to protect themselves.
I want to read the line to you in the story, because that's how I took it.
Now, Duke Tobin is not, you know, Duke Tobin's a really highly respected guy, and he's always under the radar with the Bengals, and he's done a really good job there in terms of his draft picks and things of that nature.
All right, this is the article. The sticking point in the negotiation, this is ESPN, written by Ben Baby. That's a cool name. The sticking point in the negotiations, Brown said, is a dispute over the language in Stewart's rookie contract pertaining to potential conduct detrimental to the team. We just heard that. In that scenario, it could void guaranteed money owed to him, which is a clause the Bengals added recently to mirror other teams around the league. So
if he is mirroring other teams around the league, and then Duke Tobin is saying we're doing exactly what everybody else is doing, then you would have to side with the team. But you remember the whole Ray Rice situation?
Of course.
The league took action, and the league took it out of the team's hands when these players go awry, when something happens, and they don't want the teams to have to make these decisions. Somewhere along the line, maybe that's changed, or maybe somebody has advised these NFL teams that you have to have this in the contract because of some of the things that have gone on in the past. So if it is a very similar contract to other players, then he should sign it. But if it's one of a kind, then I wouldn't sign it.
All right, so here was Brown, just to finish this up. Brown was asked why that language is in the contract.
Well, if we get a player who gets involved in something like that, or does something that is just unacceptable, guess what? I don't want to pay him.
Understood. Do you think, now this is goes to the juice point before, so do you think that something like this could happen with him?
I don't think it's going to occur. So we're sitting here arguing over something that I think is pretty remote, and I ask myself sometimes why the hell we're doing it, but we are.
Yeah, and so there's the sticking point, and I don't know when or if that will change, but he remains unsigned.
I would just like to know how many other players sign contracts like it.
I don't know the answer to that. That's why I wanted to read the article to you. And former Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers, the announcement on social media yesterday.
I'm Philip Rivers, quarterback, and I'm retiring a Charger. I think gratitude really is the first thing that comes to mind.
And then he went on, they played some highlights of him, and so that does it. And I mentioned the Colt thing last year. I forgot he played that one year with the Colts at the end.
No.
All those years with the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. You know why? That's because Frank Reich was the head coach. And you remember Andrew Luck basically he retired in the middle of training camp, like right around now. They opened with Jacoby Brissett. Then they went Philip Rivers. They went Carson Wentz. And then they went Matt Ryan.
Mm. And here we are with Daniel Jones.
Yes.
They have
Anthony Richardson. At least they drafted him.
He's hurt, though, isn't he?
But he tapped himself out of the game.
He did, but isn't he hurt now, too?
He's always hurt.
He's always hurt.
Fair enough.
And the other guy that's hurt is Will Levis. He's out for the year.
I did see that, yes. And Rivers was commuting from San Diego to Los Angeles, I think, couple of years.
Yeah, big old bus.
Something like that with the however many kids he's got.
15. So.
No, there's nine. I was going to say, well, who knows? You got nine. Why not 15? Hey, what the hell? What's six more? So there you go. More next hour.
Oof. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets and Yankees and training camp getting going July 22nd. Things are heating up. We got a Hall of Fame game in less than 10 days, I think, at this point. Want to join the show, 888-828-1019. We were talking about J.J. Watt's comments in regards to what Jerry Jones said about Micah Parsons. Jerry Jones said, hell, you know, I could sign a guy to a 4 or 5 year contract and he could get hit by a car, and he missed some games last year. So, which was a weird thing to say when you have a player who's been really good for you in the middle of a contract negotiation. But Jerry Jones is also an older fella at this point who says a lot of things that are wild.
You know, hey, Jerry, I could be a player that you do pay a lot of money. I can go out there and get my knee blown out.
Exactly.
I could I could be, you know, listen, I loved playing in the NFL. I wouldn't have changed anything when I played. I loved every single minute of it. I loved even the bad games, the good games, the fellowship. I loved it all, and I would never complain about any of that. But, you know, and I know that when I stepped on that field, there was a risk, much like a race car driver knows that there's a risk when he gets behind the wheel. So I just it's a tough thing to swallow from a player's perspective, and I think that's where J.J. Watt is coming from. But, you know, once these big-time players get their big-time money, you know, basically it's generational worth, and his family is set up for the next 20 years if he does it right.
Yeah, and J.J. Watt said that, you know, the players are fighting for the owners and fighting for the team, and, you know, maybe somewhere down the list, but it's certainly not at the top of the list.
I know in Cincinnati we're fighting for ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the fans, of course, we appreciated that. But we had a really, really close, very close team in the 80s. And the 87 strike, you know, could have really torn apart the entire team. Instead, 98% of the team was galvanized because it was against an ownership group that actually tried to pass a workman's comp bill, which they did get passed, when they attached it to a road bill that was very popular in the state of Ohio. And that was all going on in the middle of our strike in 87. And, you know, I'm trying to explain this to people publicly, and they don't give a crap. They don't give a damn.
Let's go to Santiago in Connecticut. What's going on, Santiago?
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. What's up?
Sounds good. Yeah, going back to that list of who you play for as a professional, you guys were ranking it, and I feel like, you know, since we start playing as kids, I feel like number one, you play for yourself, I guess, just naturally. Everyone has an ego. you can't help it. You want to feel good about your performance. But, you know, you go out there, you want to do the best you can. But after that, you know, when we're kids and we're playing on a team, you know, we're built to play for our teammates. And, you know, you share moments with them and you become friends with them. And, you know, they're your every day. So you might lose track of the fact that of the fans. And then when you get to a professional level, I feel like number one, outside of yourself maybe and your family, you have to play for the fans, because without them, there is no profession. They're the ones that they're the reason people are getting paid millions of dollars. And so, you know, when thinking about, you know, your teammates, obviously they're important, coaching staff, the institution, but the fans are the number one thing. And I feel like sometimes athletes seem to forget that. And I'm not saying anything that's, you know, crazy here. It should make common sense, but, you know, I feel like
I think it's taken for granted, San Diego. I think that there are times that, because especially in the NFL, the numbers are crazy from a rating standpoint. All these places are sold out. It's the most popular thing in the world. I think sometimes you can take that for granted, that the fans are always there, and you forget how much money that they're spending to watch you. Maybe that happens with certain players. I think there's a lot of players who really understand. I mean, there's superstars that'll sit there. Training camps are opening. They'll sit there for 2 hours after practice signing everybody's stuff. You know, 2-3 times.
They get it. They all get it. You see baseball players doing it before games. They all get it. I don't know if every athlete is the same. Some guys don't want to give autographs because they think that they're autograph hounds. I think Aaron Rodgers went through that in Pittsburgh, where he called a guy. He goes, "I know you. I know what you're doing."
Yeah, it was Lake Tahoe, right? It was Lake Tahoe.
Yeah,
yeah. He goes, "Yeah, you're an autograph hound. You don't remember that game. We're not that game. Just getting me to sign a ticket." So you can personalize it. He's like, no, I'm not doing anything for you. I know who you are. But I was just laughing, speaking of autographs. So like, I don't sign a lot of stuff. Occasionally, like, I'll sign, like, a picture, you know, one of those headshots that we have, or we'll sign a flyer that we have for Boomer and Geo Live or something like that. But yesterday, people got at this golf outing, they got a mini football along with some other stuff. And you would sign the mini football. And there was several fans of the show that also wanted me to sign this mini football. And I was poking holes in the mini football with the Sharpie. It was getting stuck because I'm just trying to sign it like normal. And then you're telling me there's like a special way to sign a football. You got to like press the Sharpie in, and you've got like this unbelievable, beautiful signature, and mine just it looks like a mouse chewed on it. I mean, it was so bad.
Yeah, well,
I was like, everybody's gonna think that I'm drunk. Yeah, but I didn't have a single drink yesterday.
I mean, you got to understand. I know you don't really sign footballs.
Why would I sign any footballs?
That's right. So there is a right way to do it.
Yeah.
And to make sure that the autograph stands out.
Yeah.
And that people know who signed it.
Yeah, yeah. You can't. Mine, you can't tell. It looks like hieroglyphics.
So like a lot of players, their autographs are horrific.
Mine's fine when it's not on like a curve with a Sharpie that I was poking holes in. I mean, it's a fine signature.
You always got a great signature. It's Phil.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got a great one, too. But now, so you got Sharpies.
Yeah, mine's better than his, for sure.
You got a Sharpie there. So you push the thing in, like, and then it's signing on an angle or something?
I don't use the point of the Sharpie. I use the side of the Sharpie. So when I use the side of the Sharpie, it comes out.
Side of it. All right, that kind of like an angle.
And according to Al, Boomer ruins the Sharpies when he signs footballs. It ruins the Sharpie.
Oh, okay.
So Al doesn't like to loan him his good Sharpie. He'll loan him like just any old Sharpie.
Now you try it.
But this is a piece of paper. Right, it's not a football.
But do it the same way, not with the point, like with the side.
So with the
what do you
side?
Mean I ruin the Sharpie?
Like when you go, you got a Sharpie. I'm like, okay, well, this one's ruined because you bend the tip.
Yeah, because I want to make it nice and bold for whatever I'm signing.
This is not because I'm just doing it like normal now. Like with the football, I have to hold it a certain way. I'm going to have to try.
Let me see what it looks like.
No, but it just looks like it's just whatever. Looks like crap is what it looks like. It's terrible.
No, give me the Sharpie back. Don't be down on yourself.
I can't. I felt so bad for these people yesterday. They were fans of the show, and I gave them back like this little just terrible couple of letters and. I don't know what the hell I was doing.
Is that it? That's your signature?
Yeah, it's not a good one. Yeah. That was a bad one.
What is that?
I put a little Geo on the thing so people remember. It's a G and then Giannotti and then a little Geo. Halfway through,
your
I gave up.
Your name is Greg.
Yeah,
it's not G.
But it's, yeah, but I do G, G, and I. I'm not gonna, it's too much, too many letters. So G, G, and I. Geo. That's where I go.
You go G dot.
Yeah. It's, yeah, that's on. What I do. Yeah. Listen, man, I'm not you.
Is that old live copy that you wrote on?
Yeah,
make sure you got things organized.
Yeah, I got it organized. I'm all good. God.
Eddie,
I didn't know that you were signing.
Well, I wasn't.
Okay.
Few people wanted, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing, it wasn't like part of the deal last night, but they wanted to, you know, like it was four or five people who wanted a
very nice
Geo football.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I didn't know how to sign a football.
That's strange to me. I mean, we've been together for a long time.
I don't sign footballs. I told you, nobody gives me a football. Like, here's, like, if I have a football in the paint marker,
yes,
I could do that fine. But yesterday, it was something about this mini football, and it was, like, on the...
It's a white panel.
A white panel, and then I went to go, like I normally do, and it's like, poke it. It would get stuck, and I'd poke a hole in it. It was horrible.
Yeah, because you're using the point.
No,
or maybe it's the way that you sign.
No, it's using the point. How many people, like... Honestly, you sign a gazillion. I don't get handed footballs to sign. You sign a gazillion footballs. I'll get like a picture or something like that.
Can you do a baseball?
No, I can't do that either.
Why can't you do a baseball?
I don't sign baseballs. People don't want radio hosts to sign baseballs. I might
sometimes
have
they do. Like I signed two baseballs yesterday.
Yeah, but you're a professional athlete. It's different.
No, I'm not. I'm a professional radio host.
Well, that too. But you were a professional athlete. I got to work on it. I got to work on signing spheres. Things that are not
round.
Flat.
Things are round.
Yeah, things that are
I have
things
curvature
that are round.
To it.
Yeah, because I screwed up a couple footballs yesterday. Boy, whew. It's embarrassing. Handed it back. I was like, you want to get another one? Go get Boomer to sign another one. Let me try this again.
God, you get yourself like all worked up over the.
It was bad.
Things.
No, because I felt bad. I didn't. I'm not all worked up about it. I do
it
get
seems
myself.
Like you're worked up about it.
I get all worked up about certain things, but I felt bad.
Is he worked up over this?
I felt bad.
He seems like he actually genuinely feels upset for the fans that he ruined their football.
Yeah, he's worked up over it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
100% worked
but
up.
But with good reason, because he ruined their football.
Right. Would you rather me be like, you know what, I ruined those footballs and I don't care? No, I felt bad.
Oh, hit me with that now.
What would you rather, you just want me to, I mean, no, not feel guilty.
You just got all worked up over it.
I felt bad.
Okay.
I want to deliver for the people, you know?
I know, and you do.
I yes, but not
you
with,
always do.
Not with the signature.
You always do.
The other things, yes. You know, everybody was asking for the mic impersonation yesterday. Gave him the mic impersonation. Gave him that. Delivered there. You know, gave him the joke about the previous host last year.
Yes,
that whole thing.
Okay,
but that was. But as far as signing a football, not so good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.